Hello and welcome to the FV English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world. Tonight is a special episode of the FV English podcast because we are live in the flesh with a current Liga FV player, the scorer of Metropolitanos' first ever goal in the Copa Sudamericana, a player with experience in Spain, Copa America 2021, and part of a golden generation of players at Metropolitanos. We are, of course, with Christian Larratonda. Christian, thank you very much for being with us, or rather, for having us into your home.
Hi, Jordan. Kevin, thanks for the interview, and I hope you will enjoy it.
Thank you very much for having us. And as Christian alluded to, I am here with my co-host, Kevin Vivas. Kevin, how are you?
Yes, very fine to be here. I didn't expect to be today because I wasn't with you, but it's a very nice idea to me be here in the first personal podcast and with Christian Larratonda in his own house.
Yeah, I asked Christian whether he preferred to do it over Zoom, like we normally record our podcasts, or in the flesh, expecting Christian to, if in the flesh, come to my apartment or meet somewhere. But Christian's very kindly invited us into his home. His mum has made some great coffee, and now we're sat in his living room. Very surreal. Not often you get the opportunity to meet professional football players in their own house. So thank you very much again, Christian. So to start, first and foremost, this is a rare opportunity for me to interview a Liga FV player in English without the need of Kevin's amazing translations. So where did you learn your English?
Well, I learned by my own and on the school. I studied in Santo Tomás de Villanueva, so I learned a little bit there. And the rest, with playing video games and watching TV, watching Netflix in English.
What kind of programs would you watch on Netflix?
Well, I love the series Dark and Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
I love it. I'm watching it.
I'm
in the first season.
Oh. I found it very curious because I've seen for a while like Peaky Blinders trending on Twitter in Venezuela, and then Kevin this weekend told me that he started watching Peaky Blinders, something that's been like a program very popular in England for 3 years. But to me as an Englishman, to know it's popular in Venezuela is crazy. How long have you been watching it for?
Well, I don't know, but I started watching Netflix in English like at the age of maybe 16 years.
So about 6 years now.
Yeah.
And as I said in the introduction, possibly the best compliment or the most historic compliment I can give you is at the age of 22, you've already made history for Metropolitanos, of course being the first ever goal scorer in Copa Sudamericana for the club. How was that moment for you, somebody that spent many years at the club to make that bit of history?
Well, It's something that when I talk with the people, I always say that it's something that I can't explain, because that feeling, it's something that happened what time in your life. But in that moment, I felt all the stadium was quiet. And the ball was going so slowly to the
into the box.
Into the box.
And the corner of the box.
And the corner of the box. Then when I knew it, that was goal, I get crazy. Like I didn't know what's
happening.
Yeah, what's happening, what I did when I saw the video. I mean what was I doing in that moment. You know.
Yeah. And you've added like goals to your game this season, like for your position, like as for those who don't know, Christian plays like defensive midfield and central midfield. goals haven't always been like a big part of your game, but you've got quite a few goals this season. Is that luck or is it something you've been looking to add to your game?
I was looking for this season I have, I don't know if 4 or 5 goals, because some goal that I made to Isabe is not caught. It
hasn't been given to you?
No, because Forero...
own goal.
But yeah, that's that was...
Yes, and what I'm checking on my internet, my phone, but I remember that you're not a player that usually score goal. And so when I watched that goal in life in the Copa Sudamericana, it was like, wow, what a goal he made to put the first goal of Metropolitanos, and it was amazing. I remember that maybe he used his pec, no?
Yeah, chest.
Yeah, his chest, sorry. And yes, it was amazing. It was against Academia Protocol.
And of course that goal kick-started ultimately getting through that playoff game against Puerto Cabello and into the group stages. What was it like as a club? Obviously, it was the first time Metropolitanos were founded in 2011, I believe. It was the first time in continental football. So logistically, you had 3 away games across South America. What was it like to be a part of that? And how did the club take on that challenge?
Well, we knew it that we were a new team in the competition, but we expected so much about us. Like, we wanted to the next round. And we was hoping that. I don't know how explain what was that feeling, because the first game we felt like we played like a great first game.
You went two goals half. Up against Melga.
First half. Yes.
Yeah, and the second half was like we don't know what happened. Everything passed too fast. And I think it was a great experience, because we learned a lot, and in these days we know that we want play again, because we know now the competition and we want give our 100%, and we know if we play the next year the Copa Sudamericana or the Copa Libertadores, we will put Liga Futbe in the top, in the first one.
And the football that got you into the Sudamericana, the football you were playing in 2020 in that tournament towards the end of the year, was to me like some of the most impressive football that there was. Jose Maria Mora and Kike Garcia at Aragua were my two favourite coaches and my two favourite styles to watch. But then in the Sudamericana, you're coming up against opposition from other South American countries where what was required of you as a team was very different. What was it like going from knowing that you could play very attacking football and take the game to the opponents in Liga Futebol games in 2020 to having to go and play away in Brazil and have to really, really defend? How do you prepare for that as a team? And how did Jose Maria Mora, as your coach, prepare you for that challenge?
Well... as well that you say, Jose Maria is a great teacher, because he teach us a lot. He's like your best teacher in your school, because he know a lot. The game against Paranaense was so hard, so hard, because the weeks before the game, were like, remember guys, this is a team that attacks so much, we have to defend a lot, we have to be prepared to the attacking duo that they have, and we have that
mindset
mindset to mm-hmm. the game, and I think we did it so great. The thing was that in some point of the game we lose that concentration and we conceded the goal, but we could win that game.
And even I don't know if that was before or after, but Aragua lost 8-0 against a Brazilian team in Brazil. So mm-hmm. yes, it was gonna be very remarkable if Metropolitanos would have. It was gonna be very remarkable if Metropolitanos could have drawn that game. I don't know if that was before. And Metropolitanos was gonna make also a record, a big register if they draw in Brazil, and maybe the first doing that in 20 years or something like that.
For a Venezuelan team?
Yes, a Venezuelan mm-hmm. team in Brazil.
And you spoke, Christian, about knowing for next time, being prepared. Now you know the competition and you can approach things from a more, I guess, informed manner. When you look back at your participation in the Sudamericana, you got the player of the week, CONMEBOL Sudamericana, named you player of the week for that the game that you scored against Puerto Cabello. Can you allow yourself to remember that moment fondly and be proud that you had that achievement? Or is it more of a focus on we could have done better as a team and that's what I want to do in the future?
I mean, I was proud because it was a record.
A personal achievement.
Yeah, a personal achievement. But I was focused. I was focused because about the competition. But because we knew it that the competition would be really, really, really hard. So, do you know when you have that two feelings that you are so good with you, but you know that you have give more
mm-hmm.
because you know that you will need your 100% to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. And you've had that was ultimately just the beginning of like a very busy year for you. We're only in September, but you went from playing in the Sudamericana and travelling around the continent for away games to ending up being part of the national team for Copa America 2021. Obviously, those last days before the tournament began were crazy with the 13 positive COVID tests amongst the players, 17 including the staff, and then a last-minute rush to get the reinforcements from Liga Footbay tested, cleared as negative for COVID, and then getting out to Brazil. How was that experience being with the senior national team for a major tournament for the first time?
Well, that first day were so crazy because we really don't know what was happening there, because we were there with the national team, but we was training
separately.
And that few days we've been like, oh my god, that is really happened. We are in the Copa America. that feeling what we felt in our heart and in our mind was it's something that you could not believe. I mean,
yeah.
it's something that you imagine when you are a little boy and you told your parents like, hey mom, someday I will play the Copa America with Venezuela.
Did you ever have that conversation with your mom? Do you remember saying that as a kid?
I told I told to my parents that like when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, like I was a little boy, a really little boy, and I told him.
And well, taking that point, I think you were preparing the Monagas match, and then suddenly you were in the airport with Bachile, Daniel Perez, and Schiavone. That was like a dream. What were you telling between yourselves?
Yeah, when we meet in the airport, was a really strange feeling, because we were like, oh my God, you are here, I'm here, like we are all friends and we have the same dream, and we are going to Brazil, you know,
tinto.
Cumpliendo nuestro sueño.
Yes.
And that was a really lovely moment, you know.
And the way they spoke about it in the media and the press, I don't know if you were like aware of it at the time, but they were all saying like you were ultimately the replacement for Yangel Herrera, and like to Kevin, Yangel Herrera is the most talented, gifted Venezuelan player. To be sort of deemed his replacement, did you feel any pressure, or were you just like, this is an amazing moment and I'm going to enjoy it?
I feel like this is an opportunity to demonstrate who I am, to play with my love. I say my love because the vino tinto is it's all what I want. Like it's like your mother, your country, something that you love. That's that feeling you can't replace. That feeling can't be replaced, because it's something that I repeat that you felt in when you are a little guy, you are young.
And did you see what difference of what characteristics? You could see in the teammates, for example, when you practice with Yangel Herrera, I think you practice with Cáceres, with Brujo, did you do?
With Christian and with Brujo, I did. With Yangel...
Ah, you didn't.
I didn't.
What was the difference of the rhythm of the play, the play still, the quality? Because I spoke with Richard Celis and he told me the difference of the level was very high, and he got used to that level. Do you learn so much of that experience?
Yeah, it was so high. And for example, they think too fast.
Mm-hmm.
They play too fast. If you do a bad movement, and for example, I don't know, you go outside your zone, they immediately they know and they take the and they pass the ball there, and I think what was a really good experience, and I learned a lot.
And it feels like a good point to mention something that I wanted to talk to you about. I feel like Metropolitanos at the moment have sort of like a golden generation, possibly one of the best generations in terms of like coming from a cantera in the league. Yourself, you're not all exactly the same age, but yourself, Bahechili, Perez, Andres Ferro, Pavon, and to share that moment with Bahechili and Perez, as Kevin already picked up on, must have been amazing. But that must be like a really ambitious group to be part of, all probably with ambitions to play for the national team, to play in Europe, and you're all similar ages and you've all come through together. Presumably there's like a really strong bond between the four or five of you in that generation that's helped Maria Moore shape the team around you.
Yeah, you say something that you're in the correct point. We want play with Venezuela team with the Vino Tinto, and we want to play outside Venezuela. I mean, in Europe, on in MLS. That we have that dream. And only I'm 2 years older than they, but they are all my greatest friends, and we have the same dream that it's something that you don't find that in all the people. I mean, that you share your dreams with your friends and work together,
yeah, exactly.
to
their dreams come true. Yeah,
exactly.
And but we're talking about making it to Europe, but you've already had experience in Europe. A couple of seasons ago, you were with Getafe and played games with their second team, and their under-19s. What was that experience like to have those months in Spain?
Well, I can say that I love Madrid. It's a really, really, really good city. So I love Madrid, I love the people there, and I love the team Getafe too, because I don't know when I mean in it's something that you feel you are there, and you feel the color of the shirt, and you say, I want to give my 100% and I want to train in better, and always stay in that movement. That was a great experience.
And for example, also you learn something from a type of football. The Spanish football is special. The touch, the technique, the first touch, etc. Do you learn a new play style in Spain?
Something that I can't delete from my mind is that in the trainings we did the trainings doing one touch.
Okay.
Playing with one touch.
Mm-hmm.
In the first trainings was so hard to me. Did that, but then
you got used to it.
Yeah.
You got used to doing that. Yes.
It's probably what separates me as a football fan and a football journalist to you as a football professional. But one thing that I found really interesting about your answer about your time at Getafe is, you know, you were there for less than a year, but you said so quickly you felt like the colour of the shirt and wanting to give your all. For me, like, I'm a Southampton fan, and I can't imagine ever feeling the same love for another club. What did Getafe do, or what was it about the environment that made you feel like you felt the colours, you wanted to give it your all?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the colors, if it was the base camp, if it was the people, but what or it was Madrid in general. I don't know what it was. What if it was? But the thing that I know, when I put that shirt, I dressed that shirt, I felt that instinct of, I don't know, to run all the field, to play better, to give my 100%. It was something that changed my not changed my mind, like a focus, you know, that come the light to me and started that burned in the heart, I think.
And for example, you started, yes, you told me in Santo Tomas, you told here Santo Tomas de Villanueva, that's the same school of Miku, right? I think.
Yeah, there studied Miku Fedor, Rubén Arocha,
There is another good player, I remember. Miku played also well in Getafe, which is curious.
Yeah, well, Rubén Arocha played in the in Real Madrid.
Ah, yes, La Cantera. Yes.
Uh-huh, La Cantera.
Cyprus as well. How did you start you to play football? How is the story that you would tell usually?
Well, that's so funny because I had a lot of energy and my parents
give you a ball.
Give me a ball, and then they saw me kicking the ball around the apartment, and they say, "Oh my God, we have to put it in this boy to play soccer." And then I started to play with Villanueva's team. Then I played for Talento Franco Ricci.
Yeah.
Then I have a really, really short pass to Estudiantes de Caracas, like a 1 year.
Okay.
And then I came to Metropolitanos.
What football did you watch growing up? Because obviously you had the spell in Getafe, and you mentioned Madrid being a great city, and Kevin saying how the football style in Spain is unique, or at least different to Venezuela. And for me, it was always interesting.
Sorry that I'm stopping you, but in that team that I started to play was Robinson Flores. I played with Robinson and with Wilker.
I have a picture.
Wilker Fariñez.
Yeah, with Wilker Fariñez and with Seferino.
Bencomo. No,
Bencomo.
Ah, Seferino Márquez.
Márquez, Seferino Márquez. Okay. He's playing in UCB.
Yes, I have a picture here of him when he was playing in Santo Tomás de Villanueva, and it's with Robinson Flores.
We have a really good team there.
Yeah, and now of course you play with Robinson Flores at Metropolitanos, and I think he's had a really good season this year.
Yeah,
he's caught the eye outside South America, outside of Venezuela, and he's got a really thunderous shot. He can really hit a ball hard.
Yeah,
like,
really hard.
Some of his goals have been identical, and obviously it's difficult to stop because when that ball drops and he catches it on the volley with his right foot,
it's really
special.
Really hard kid.
Him and Jonathan Castillo on the wings, I think they play, when they play together, I think they play really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just circling back to the question, I found really interesting when I was here with Kevin in 2019, a lot of, Venezuela have a lot of football fans, but what they don't have is a lot of Futve fans. I think that's fair to say, yes, Kevin?
Yes, of course.
So, as a kid, what football did you grow up watching, and what football team or teams did you support as a kid? Was it Venezuelan teams and Venezuelan football, or did you watch European football more?
Well, I went so much to the UCB stadium, mm-hmm. and watch the Caracas game or the teams that were playing there. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, I didn't like some team.
Mm-hmm. You went to watch football rather than watch a team.
I was there because I like it. Watch football.
Mm-hmm.
On the TV, I watch so many times Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like that team when I was young.
I'm watching here, and you have a photo in Talentos Franco Ricci. You played with Wilker Fariñez, as you said.
And that's correct.
How was him of children? He was very outstanding.
And he played outfield when he was a kid, no?
Huh?
He played outfield. He wasn't a goalkeeper.
Yeah. No. Well, no, I have a really good story.
Uh-huh.
Well, with Villanueva, I played with Wilker in Villanueva. And we was playing the Herbalife Cup.
Uh-huh.
And we was in the semi-finals, playing, I don't remember the team, but we draw and we went to the penalties. So they changed the goalkeeper and put it there weaker, and he was playing
as forward. I think he was forward,
and he helped us. He take like three penalties, I think. Yeah.
So from forward to the keeper in the penalty series.
Yeah.
I even spoke to Danny Perez and his dad Leonardo for an earlier podcast episode. Danny played in goal when he was younger too, not for a long period of time, but even Danny played in goal once upon a time. How long were you and Danny playing together in Metropolitanos?
Like three years. Yeah, 3 years.
And how does it, as someone you said before we started recording the podcast, somebody you're really close to, a good friend, how does it make you feel to see him in Belgium and potentially playing Champions League football soon?
I'm so proud of him. I wish to him. Mm-hmm. Is that good? I wish him the best. When I saw the post on Instagram, I always have the feeling of, I feel so proud of him, because I think he's a really good striker, and he need that opportunity to demonstrate that he is the best.
And about yourself and your own career, do you, obviously you said your biggest love is Vinotinto and to play for Venezuela, but do you have any particular career aspirations for yourself? Any particular goals you'd want to achieve?
I want to play to AC Milan.
To play for AC Milan. Right.
Yeah, I want to play there. Mm-hmm. It's my
dream.
It's my dream, but that thing, it's like your, en español sería como tu amor platónico, como
platonic love, I think.
platonic love is like non-romantic love. I think it's like not a romantic.
Bigger
love,
than like, romantic, something like reachable.
Uh huh.
O sea, el equipo de mis amores.
Yeah.
Yes. His lovable team.
I like it when players, not just when I interview players, but when I listen or read interviews with players that are, you know, at the beginning of their career and they talk about their dreams. So often it's like, oh, I just want to play in Europe. Or I like it when a player has a specific answer. And yeah. AC
For
Milan
example,
isn't one you hear.
Has Manchester United.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting when, as a Southampton fan, I said earlier, when we signed Mayo Yoshida, the Japanese centre-back, this was like 2013, and in one of his first interviews in England, he just signed for Southampton, and somebody asked him like about his career ambitions, and he said, I want to play for Manchester United. And as a fan, you're just like, what? You just signed for Southampton.
You're
Why are you talking about
Southampton? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
but then he was
it's one of our best players. It's like coming, I don't know, to Hermanos Colmenares, sorry.
Yeah.
And then saying, well, I want to play in Caracas FC.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, disrespectful.
Yeah, but then he went on to be a really good player for us and was very involved with charity work and gave a lot of money to the Saints Foundation. Okay. So like, he became a cult hero. But when that happened to begin with, it was like, why are you saying this? But AC Milan is a good one.
Lara, and how would you describe, because I feel that your play style has changed a lot, and like, before you were like more defensive and high work rate, but now you are the player like also got in by Chile behind of you. You control the ball, you turn around very well, you pass, you distribute, you like to dribble with the ball. And so you have like those sides of your play. But how would you describe your play style?
Well, I love have the ball. I always want to take the ball, and I don't know if a short pass or a long pass, but I won it. But I think that how to describe my work is help the team. If I help the team, I will be proud of me, because I think that is my biggest aim. Help the team, because if the team could shine.
Exactly.
If the team could shine, I will shine too. That's important, because when I do that, I feel so proud of me. I think one of my biggest characteristics that I have a really good resistance.
Stamina. Resistance as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's.
What do you consider is your best match in your career?
Oh my god. I think Puerto Cabello, or I don't know.
Sudamericana.
Yeah, maybe.
The first leg.
Yeah, the first leg, or.
Yes, that was very
maybe,
good.
Maybe. I don't know. I have a lot of great games, but that maybe it's because it's near to the.
It's recent.
Yeah, it's
better.
Recent.
But also a historic game for not just yourself but for Metropolitanos. And just to finish up, I just wanted to ask, we've got 5 games left of Liga Footvea, give or take. Some teams have got one more, one less. What is Metropolitanos' aim for these final games? Hopefully qualify for the next stage and get 10 more games. But what's the ultimate ambition? What's the most that you're hoping for and working towards?
Well, the qualifier to the hexagonal A. That's what we are.
What you're aiming.
And
of course,
our aim, and that will be like I'm telling you, we will be in that group.
In the hexagonal way.
Yeah.
Okay.
We will be there.
So for those who don't know or need familiarizing, the way Venezuelan. The league has set up this season is there's 3 groups with 7 teams. The top 2 in each group advance to a hexagonal A, probably best described as like a championship round. There'll be 6 teams. Everyone will play each other twice. The top 2 will play the final for the league title. And it's also what's going to determine the 4 teams to qualify for the Copa Libertadores. And then the teams that finish 3rd and 4th in each group will qualify for the hexagonal B. And only the top 2 teams out of those 6 will qualify for the Copa Sudamericana. So it really is cutthroat whether you qualify for hexagonal A, because that will guarantee you either Libertadores or Sudamericana, or hexagonal B, where you've only got a 1 in 3 chance. As it stands, Metropolitanos' group is led by Caracas FC, 2nd is Monagas, and then 3rd is Metropolitanos.
Atletico
Venezuela,
for 1 point.
And then 4th, Metropolitanos. And then outside chance of Mineros 2 qualifying for hexagonal B. We've spoken about Mineros earlier in the season, Kevin, how well they've done with a very young team to stay in this debate. But Christian, I wish you and Metropolitanos all the best in qualifying for hexagonal A. Not just because you're here, but anyone that listens or reads for the English lots, big fan of Metropolitanos' playstyle and Jose Maria Moore. Christian here is a key component of a very talented group of young players. So thank you again, not just for recording with us today, but allowing us into your home to do so. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.